Our first reading is taken from Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 14. It can be found on page 892 of your Pew Bibles. Daniel is speaking about what he saw. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Our second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, reading verses 16 to 20. It can be found on page 1001. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Chris, thank you for reading that so well for us. And it would help me and it would help you if you keep Matthew chapter 28 open in front of you, page 1001, and we're going to be looking at that together now. And if you're aged 10 to 14, it's great to have you with us today as well. And hopefully you've got a sheet and a pen. You can jot down some thoughts as you listen, and you could chat to your leaders at the end, chat to your parents, and tell them what you've taken away from today. Well, we're asking the question this morning, what is the mission of the church? What are we here for? What is it that Christians should be doing? What is it that St. Mary's as a local church should be doing? What is our mission? When you think about it, Christians could be doing loads of things. But what should be our focus? What should be our mission? Is it that we should be turning and trusting in Jesus? Is it that we should love God and love our neighbours? Is it something different? Is it that we should be caring for the environment? is our mission that we should be a blessing to the people who live on our streets. And, you know, we should be really kind to them and mow their lawns and take out their bins and things. Is our mission to love Doncaster? Should we be picking litter off the streets and scrubbing graffiti off the walls? What is our mission? If you're not a convinced follower of Jesus, I guess that you'll want to know the answer to that, because you will want to know what you would be signing up for if you became a follower of Jesus. But if you are a Christian, you'll want to know the answer as well, because we want to be useful, don't we? We want to live a life where we're doing what God wants us to do. If you're 10 to 14, do you ever think about what your life should be about? Why are we here? Well, imagine being given an important mission from the God who made the whole universe. Isn't that an incredible idea? But what is his mission? Now, don't mishear me. All the things that I've mentioned so far are good. All of those things are good things. But it's very important to have focus. As one Christian writer put it, if everything is mission, nothing is mission. We need to know what's the most important thing, what should be front and center all the time. Well, happily, Jesus gives us a clear answer in this Bible passage, and he says to us, go and make disciples. That's our mission. We're to make disciples. We've been working through Matthew's Gospel over a few years, and we've now reached these very famous and very important words that come right at the end. We've seen in Matthew that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised king. We've seen him die and we've seen him rise to save his people. And today is the climax of the whole of Matthew's Gospel. And he sends us out. He gives us an important mission, the most important mission there ever could be. He sends us to make disciples. And we're going to look at it in three parts. And here's the first part up on the screen. We see that the risen Jesus has all authority. I'm looking at verses 16 to 18. The risen Jesus has all authority. Just have a look down at verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples, because you'll remember that Judas has now died, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So if you look at the map on the screen, the disciples now head back north from Jerusalem back to Galilee. And verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Well, of course they worshipped him. He's come back from the dead. It's absolutely incredible. They worship him. But did you notice that some of them doubt? Matthew's very honest about that. Jesus rising from the dead is a huge thing to understand. And it seems it took some of the 11 time to come to a strong faith. Of course, Pentecost later would make a big difference. God would give the Holy Spirit to his people to strengthen their faith. But of course, Jesus is worth trusting in. Just look at what Jesus himself says. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It's an incredible thing for him to say. In raising Jesus from the dead, God has given him all authority over heaven and earth. Jesus isn't just king of the Jews, he's king of all nations. And he's not just king of the human world, he's king of the spiritual world as well. He's the king over Satan and over angels and demons. He's king of the whole universe. Do you remember that reading from Daniel chapter 7 earlier? Daniel sees one like a son of man, given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. Well, that's Jesus. He's the king of the universe. The risen Jesus has all authority. Imagine the nice headmistress of your school. Well, she has a little bit of authority, doesn't she? She has authority over the school. Or imagine your local member of parliament, your MP. He has a little bit more authority, doesn't he? He has authority over the local area. Or imagine that there's going to be a general election later on this year, isn't there? And imagine the person who becomes prime minister at that point. The prime minister has quite a lot of authority, doesn't he? He has authority over, you know, the whole country in a way. Or imagine the president of the United States, Joe Biden. He has authority not really just over America, but he has quite a lot of influence around the whole world. He just picks up the phone and speaks to Israel, and things happen in Israel. You know, he has maybe this much authority. But the authority of the Messiah is without limits. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's the king of the universe. It might be that you have doubts or questions about that. Why not come along to Just Looking this afternoon? 4 o'clock, our house. Nice cake, tea. You can ask your questions, find out a bit more. Just find out, ask your questions about who he is. And even if you do feel confidence about who Jesus is, well, telling other people can be quite scary, can't it? And sometimes in our foolishness, we think of Jesus as being small and weak. But he's not. The risen Jesus has all authority, and serving him is always worth it. Well, how do we do that? How do we serve him? What is our mission? Well, if you look up at the screen, the risen Jesus has all authority, and our mission is to make disciples. That's our mission, to make disciples. And we're looking now at verse 19. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. To be a disciple means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a Christian. Earlier, Jesus said that he had only come for the lost sheep of Israel. But his plan, of course, was for the good news to go to everyone around the whole world. And we've seen hints of that all through Matthew's gospel. In fact, you see it right in the very first verse of the whole of Matthew's gospel. So chapter 1, verse 1, says this. It says, a record of the genealogy, the royal line, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, God chooses Abraham right at the very beginning of the Bible, and he makes a wonderful promise to him. God promises Abraham that through his family, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And he means through Jesus, who would come from Abraham's family. And at this point, we see it coming true. All peoples on earth will now be blessed through the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. It's wonderful news. And he came for all kinds of people. He came for atheists. He came for Muslims. He came for gay people, straight people, transgender people, all people. We're to make disciples of all kinds of people. Notice that Jesus doesn't say here how we make disciples. For that, we have to go back earlier into Matthew's gospel. So in chapter 24, Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So to make disciples, we must preach the gospel, or we must speak to people who are not Christians about the gospel. That's how you make disciples. The gospel is a message, and we need to pass that message on to people. Sometimes you hear Christians say this. It's quite an unhelpful saying. Some Christians say that we should preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. But that's a very unhelpful thing to say. It's a little bit like saying we should go and feed the hungry and, if necessary, use food. Of course, it's important that we're nice to people, but if someone's going to be saved, then they do need to hear about Jesus. They do need to hear the gospel. Only Jesus can pay for sin through his dying on the cross. Only Jesus can give eternal life through his rising from the dead. Only Jesus is the Savior and Lord that we need. He is unique. He is wonderful. And if you haven't turned to him yet, you must. He's the only way you can have eternal life. And if you have turned to him, well, he's given us a wonderful mission. We're to go and make disciples. Different companies have different mission statements. So look at the screen for a moment. Burger King. What do you think the mission statement for Burger King is? Well, they say it's to offer reasonably priced quality food served quickly in attractive, clean surroundings. That's good, isn't it? That's what Burger King should be doing. Well done them. Their mission statement makes sense. How about Netflix? Their mission statement is, we want to entertain the world. And whatever your taste, and no matter where you live, we'll give you access to the best TV films and so on. That's good, isn't it? That's what Netflix should be doing. That's a good mission statement. I looked up online and I found Nike. And I thought, well, I looked at their mission statement and I thought, well, that's not really what they should be doing, because they say that their mission statement is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And if you have a body, you are an athlete. That seems a little bit unclear to me. I think they should pay me millions of dollars and I could help them get that a bit clearer, because I think their mission statement should be, we want to make money by selling cool trainers. Maybe 2 million, 3 million, I'll do that for them. Well, as Jesus's people, we have a mission statement, and it's very clear. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, sadly, lots of churches lose that focus. Andrew Satch is a trusted Bible teacher in London. And when he was first ordained, he went to his first meeting of Church of England ministers. And in the meeting, they were all asked to report back on their mission. And one vicar said with great excitement, well, in our church, we've just put in a new boiler. And it's a special boiler. And it means that we're now 100% environmentally friendly. And another minister said, well, our annual service is coming up where we bless the River Thames. And the River Thames is the big river in London near their church building. And another minister from a church that was well known for its music said, well, we've just had a new organ put in, so we can celebrate that. And Andrew Satch said, I was there in that meeting listening, and I was just sort of sinking into despair listening to these gospel ministers say these different things. But then happily, one evangelical minister spoke up, and he said, well, in our church, we've just had a little just looking course, and a few people came along. One church member invited a colleague, and now they're reading Mark's gospel together. And Andrew said, my spirit's lifted, because that's our mission. Our mission is to make disciples. Well, our mission is to make disciples, and if you look at the screen, we do that baptizing and teaching. And this is the last thing to look at today. From verses 19 and 20, our mission is to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. Jesus is Savior and Lord. And let's just think about each of those in turn. So first of all, Jesus says we're to baptize people who turn to him. Baptism is a picture of having a wash. Sometimes it involves having a little bit of water put on your head. Sometimes people go completely under water. It doesn't really matter. The idea is it's a picture of being washed clean from your sin. You turn from your sin, you trust in Jesus, he forgives you all of your sins. It's wonderful. Everything that cut you off from God, everything you're ashamed of, is washed away. It's wonderful. This past week, my children have been on holiday, my boys have been playing football in the garden a lot. It is amazing how quickly they get muddy when they play football. They get mud on their knees, their backs, their hands, their everything. We make them wash before they come in the house. We don't want that on the sofa. And sin makes us dirty in God's sight. But Jesus makes us clean. Our sin is, it makes us dirty in his sight, our rejection of God, our greed, our pride, our dishonesty. When you turn and trust in Jesus, he washes it all away. He saves us from sin and hell. And he brings us back to the God who is three in one. He brings us home to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. And this is our mission. We call people to trust in Jesus, to be forgiven, and to return to God. Well, our mission is to make disciples, baptizing, and secondly, teaching. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Notice that word, everything. You never stop learning as a Christian. You never stop obeying. To be a disciple is where he is the teacher and you are the pupil. He is the king and you are the citizen. We live our Christian life trusting him and obeying him. It has to be both. He's not just the savior, he's also Lord. And this is our mission as well. We call people to a new friendship with God where they treat Jesus as Lord. And of course, some of that will be hard. Some of the things Jesus says are costly. But he loves us. And he's always there with us, helping us. Just like it says in verse 20, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So our mission is to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. The preacher Richard Kogan uses this illustration about what church is for. He says some people want church to be like a beautiful holiday cruise ship. And you're there for your own comforts and to have a relaxing time. Some people want church to be like that. He says other people want church to be like a glorious tall ship. And they love the history and they want church to be a taste of the past. Some people want church like that. Other people prefer church to be more like speedboat racing. And it's all a competition. And church is about our church being better than those churches over there. It's all about a competition. Other people want church to be like a battleship, where church fires big guns at the evils of our society. Bang, 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 bang. Some people like church like that. But when you listen to Jesus, church is to be different from all of those things. Instead, the local church is to be like a lifeboat. We're a lifeboat. And our mission is to rescue people drowning in sin. That's our mission, and that's our focus. And we have to keep it the priority. We have to keep that front and center all the time. Because if everything is mission, nothing is mission. So it's great to support the food bank. It's great to have as good a music group as possible. It's great to have communion frequently. It's great to support the persecuted church in prayer and in giving. Those other things are important and we should do them. But what is the mission of the church? What is our focus? Well, Jesus is clear. Our mission is to make disciples. So will you join in? Will you help us with Jesus' mission? It's a life well lived. This is a fruitful, loving life. And we can do it together and we help each other. We can't all be preachers, but we can all say something about Jesus. Imagine a friend says to you this week, you know, they've been looking at the news and they say, what a mess. Have you seen what's going on in Israel with Hamas and with Iran? What a mess. And you can say to them, well, that's one thing I love about Jesus. He's different from all of that. He came to die to save his people. Do you have a faith of some kind? Just say something about Jesus and ask a question. Jesus and a question. It's easier than you might think. And in our home groups this term, we're doing Bible studies about mission. And I really hope they'll help us. We've got some great events to invite people to this term. We've got a ladies' brunch. We've got a men's games night. We've got a Sunday guest service and a couple of Sundays. These are all great ways of just giving people a step in, a taste of what church is like. And then, of course, all the other stuff we do as well, home groups, children's work, 10 to 14s, all of that plays its part. That helps us make disciples because we're helping each other obey everything that Jesus commands and to trust him as our Savior. If everything is mission, nothing is mission. But Jesus has given us a clear mission. The risen Jesus has all authority, and he says, go and make disciples. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we praise you that you gave up your life to die in great pain to save us from our sins. We praise you for that, and we praise you that you are the risen King, that you have authority over the universe. And we pray that you would help us, that you would be with us always as we try to fulfill your wonderful mission to go and tell this news to others and to make disciples. And we pray that it would bring glory to your name. Amen.